Well, good evening, saints. It's good to see all of you. God bless you. Hey, welcome. So good to see you. Why don't we turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 21. 2 Kings chapter 21. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time now that we can just dedicate our hearts and our minds and to the study of your word. And I pray, God, that it would minister to each of our hearts. You are so faithful as the chief shepherd and the good shepherd to be able to meet us where we're at. And we thank you so much for that, God. And Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We need your help. We're like little babies in desperate need of your care. And we need your guidance and your wisdom. And so we humbly come before you and we ask that you would direct us as we study your word and deposit in us those things that are going to help us tonight, tomorrow, throughout the rest of this week. Help us to be honoring and pleasing to you, as well as to help others grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I titled tonight's message, Stop Resisting. You know, I don't as much as I used to, because we just don't have the channels, but I used to watch Cops like every Saturday night before Sunday. And you see there on that program a lot of individuals resisting. And that's become a big thing now. You know, we're seeing a lot of folks resisting law enforcement. And it just makes no sense to me. But nevertheless, people, you know, they feel that it's necessary for them to resist the authority. And I'm sitting watching and I'm just saying, stop resisting. I'm talking to the TV. Have you ever done that? Or am I just the crazy one? Yeah, so tonight's chapter introduces us to a king, and his name was Manasseh. And he was one who resisted. He resisted the Lord's word and the Lord's ways, the Lord's work. And as I was studying his life, and I just couldn't help but think, man, would you just stop? God has such a better plan for you, Manasseh. And he just wanted to do things his own way. And even the people, because he was the leader, and because of his bad example, he taught the people by example to not listen to God. And so the people refused to listen. And you just want to say, would you just stop? Would you just stop? And so we're introduced to this man. Well, at this time, he's just a little kid. He's 12 years old. And it tells us in verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. This was the longest reigning king. And this king was the son of a godly man. Hezekiah. We studied Hezekiah's life, and Manasseh was Hezekiah's son. Hezekiah must have been 39 when he was sick and almost going to die. And then the Lord granted him 15 more years. And so at this time, Manasseh was 12. And the Lord granted Hezekiah 15 more years. So Hezekiah had this son when he was about 42 years old. And then Hezekiah died at 54. So Manasseh's father died, but he still had his mom. And his mother was Hephzibah. And then we hear this about this son of a godly man. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. And notice this detail. It's easy to pass, but see if you can catch it. Following the despicable practices of the pagan nations that the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. Does anything stand out to you to be different from the kings that did evil? Well, a lot of times it would just say that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the other side of the kingdom, it would say that they followed Jeroboam. But here it says that this king was so wicked that he followed the detestable practices of the pagan nations. Those that were in the land prior to God's people taking the land, and these folks that were in the land prior were so wicked. And God was merciful to them for hundreds of years, and then finally he drove them out because of their extreme wickedness. And he followed their example, their pattern. It's like growing up in a godly home, and there are some pastors that they have children that are brazen. And they're online, and everything foul you could imagine. It's like they purposely say and do things against their father's ministry. And they've gone extreme worldly. And that's a real sad thing that Manasseh did here. And then now it gives us in the chapter examples of all the things that Manasseh did. Number one, he rebuilt the pagan shrines his father Hezekiah had destroyed. And this man, he basically, everything his father did in all of the reforms, Manasseh did the complete opposite. He destroyed all that work. All that good that was done in the nation, he destroyed it quick. So he built shrines. Number two, he constructed altars for Baal and set up an Asherah pole, just as King Ahab of Israel had done. Number three, he also bowed before all the powers of the heavens, and worshiped them. Number four, he built pagan altars in the temple of the Lord, the place where the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." And then there's more details in verse 7 where it says in verse 7, Manasseh even made a carved image of Asherah and set it up in the temple, the very place where the Lord had told David and his son Solomon, my name will be honored forever in this temple and in Jerusalem, the city I have chosen. And we'll continue to read that once we get there. But you see how this man built pagan altars, carved images, and set this all up in the house of God. That's almost Antichrist-like. Well, that is Antichrist-like. It tells us he built these altars, verse 5, for all the powers of the heavens in both courtyards of the Lord's temple. Number 5, Manasseh also sacrificed his own son in the fire. Number 6, he practiced sorcery and divination, and he consulted with mediums and psychics. And all that stuff the Bible discourages and the Bible warns against for God's people. Don't get involved in these kinds of things. It tells us he did much that was evil in the Lord's sight, arousing his anger. And then verse 7 again, Manasseh even made a carved image of Asherah and set it up in the temple, the very place where the Lord had told David and his son Solomon, my name will be honored forever in this temple and in Jerusalem, the city I have chosen from among all the peoples, or rather all the tribes of Israel. If the Israelites will be careful to obey my commands, all the law of my servant Moses gave them, I will not send them to exile from this land that I gave their ancestors. So I have a question. How does a child of a godly man become such a wicked person? You know, Manasseh, we know that he was the son of King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was a godly king and a wonderful reformer. And yet his son was the complete opposite in every way you can imagine. And every good thing that his father did to lead the nation in righteousness, Manasseh reversed and went so far in wickedness, even more than the pagan nations. In verse 11, it tells us King Manasseh of Judah had done many detestable things. He is even more wicked than the Amorites who lived in the land before Israel. He had caused the people of Judah to sin with his idols. So how does a child of such a godly man become so wicked? Let's entertain this for a little while. Could it have stemmed from losing his father at a young age? And he lost his dad. He was young. Could he have been angry with God? He loved his dad, I would imagine. He loved his dad, and his dad was a good influence in his life. And maybe he prayed, being influenced by his dad. Maybe he prayed, God, don't take my father, please. Don't take my father. And not understanding life, and that we're only here for a time, and that God had already extended his life, not really considering God's mercy to Hezekiah. Maybe he got angry and got bitter at a young age against God. I don't know. The text doesn't tell us. Could it have been because of his father's influence in the sense of losing such a primary godly influence in his life. Or maybe at the time when Hezekiah had his son, it was during that 15-year period where there was a lapse of good judgment in Hezekiah. And he wasn't the best of example to some degree. Remember how selfish he was? Remember when God said, there's going to be punishment coming, Hezekiah, because of what you've done. And Hezekiah said, well, at least it's not going to be while I'm alive. He got self-centered. And maybe at this time in Hezekiah's life, he wasn't such a great influence. But could it have been the influence? We don't know. The text doesn't tell us. I can't help but wonder what role his mom played after Hezekiah died in shaping Manasseh's spiritual life. Maybe she was a good influence. Maybe she was a bad influence. And the Bible calls his mother by name and identifies her as Hephzibah, or Hephzibah. Isn't that a beautiful name? How many of you are going to be having a baby soon? Hephzibah. Come here, Hephzibah, you little cutie. You're so cute. Well, her name, it actually means, my delight is in her. My delight is in her. And although it was a fanciful name for Israel, God uses the name in a way to identify that his delight was in Israel, his people. He loves his people. But in this case, I wonder if maybe, did they have a bond as a single mom? She was a single mom and a fatherless now child. Did they develop a unhealthy bond that really wasn't spiritually good? You know, some parents can put their children in a place where they don't belong. Only God belongs in that place. And some parents can, you know, sadly have their life out of order. Their child comes first, then God, then the dog, then their husband. Could be her job first too, you know, then her husband. And have things out of order. And could it have been that, you know, he delighted in his mom and she was like the only thing he had left and they had an unhealthy relationship for spiritual purpose? I'm not talking about anything inappropriate. Could it have been the pressures of being king at 12? Can you imagine what it would be like to be a king at 12? I'm sure he didn't do this alone. No doubt his mother was probably trying to direct him and steer him to make decisions that could have potentially favored her. Or we're not sure. Could it have been the influences of his advisors? He probably had a bunch of advisors, and they could have been maybe some bad influences. Could it have been Manasseh's personal struggles with his sinful nature? You know, at 12 years old, preteen, and teenage years, boy, those are some tough years, aren't they? Boy, remember? Just the confusion, the uncomfortable, sometimes awkward, we'd feel awkward, you know, discovering about yourself and, you know, feeling uncomfortable in your own skin, your own body. Remember adults going through all that? But now that you've grown up and you matured, you know, you look back and you think to yourself, why was I so hard on myself? You know, I look back at pictures of when I was younger and I thought, I was pretty good looking. I always thought I was fat and ugly, you know. I always had these twisted, the way I saw myself was just, oh boy. But how does a godly, or how does a child of a godly man become such a wicked person? You know, all these things could have been true. But ultimately, it boils down to one thing. You know what that is? Each person must choose God for themselves. It boils down to Manasseh. All those things could have been true. None of those things could have been true. He had a choice to make. He made his own choices. And his choice was to resist God. Resist God's influence. And I just wish he would have stopped. Manasseh had to make his own decision to follow the Lord and to walk in righteousness. Or he chose to, as we see, rebel against the Lord and walk in wickedness. But that was his own choice. And you know, there are lessons here I'd like to draw out for both parents and children. I want to talk to parents and children. You know, when I consider both parents and children and just all of us together, as much as we might wish it was the case, this tells us that faith is not inherited. Whenever somebody says to me, I've always been a Christian, I was born a Christian. No, that tells me they don't know. They don't know Jesus. Or they don't understand the scriptures, but that's not possible. You can't inherit Christianity because your parents were Christian. You know what this tells me for parents, you know, if you have a prodigal, the temptation to think it's your fault and feel discouraged and responsible is something that you got to fight that temptation and not entertain it. You know, we as godly parents aren't perfect parents for sure. And we could say to ourselves, if only I did this when they were little, when they were home, if I only did that while they were growing up. And to think that way, that's just too heavy of a burden to put on yourself. That's not healthy. That's not good. Why? Because every person is responsible for making a choice for Jesus. There's people that have been brought up in horrible homes, abusive homes, and you would think, well, they're surely not going to make a commitment to Christ, and they become sold-out Christians. And so, you know, you who are trying so hard to raise your child, or you've raised your kids and they've grown up and they've gone astray, don't put that on yourself. It's just too heavy of a burden to carry. Many godly parents have children that once appeared to walk in the ways of the Lord that have turned from the Lord. And I'd like to say, for now. You know, think about Adam and Eve's kids. Not all of them were godly. I believe Adam and Eve were godly. Think about Abraham's kids. Not all of Abraham's kids. Ishmael. I don't think Ishmael is godly. Think about David's kids. King David. Not all of them. Think about others, like Jacob's kids. And I don't say this in a bad way at all. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But think of God's kids. Think of the nation of Israel, the children of God. They're known as the children of God, right? The people of God, the nation of Israel. Think about how rebellious they were to a God who ministered to them over, throughout their whole history. So I just want to encourage you, parents, there's hope. There's hope. Even when things seem hopeless and that's too much of a burden to put on yourself, but there's hope. And I tell you there's hope, and here's why. Because as evil as Manasseh was, as wicked as he was, there came a point in his life, it was down the road, but there came a point in his life when he repented. Wow. In 2 Chronicles 33, verses 10 through 13, it tells us, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they ignored all his warnings. Verse 11, so the Lord sent the commanders of the Assyrian armies, and they took Manasseh prisoner. They put a ring through his nose, bound him in bronze chains, and led him away to Babylon. But while in deep distress, Manasseh sought the Lord his God and sincerely humbled himself before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed, the Lord listened to him and was moved by his request. So the Lord brought Manasseh back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh finally realized that the Lord alone is God. And so as parents, you know what we do? We don't feel... Certainly our hearts go out to our children that are prodigals and aren't walking with the Lord. But we don't feel guilty. We shouldn't feel guilty. We feel for them, but we shouldn't put heavies on ourselves. But you know what we should do? We should pray. Pray, Lord, bring them to a place of severe distress. You don't want them to suffer. You don't want God to. But... we pray, break them, bring them to the end of themselves. When they can come to their senses, whatever it takes for them to come to the end of themselves, God, please. And then just be patient. Keep praying and be patient. God is faithful. And when you have the opportunities to love on them, just love on them. Don't lose hope for our prodigals. Let's not lose hope for our prodigals. Let's keep praying that they will come to the end of their rebellion and turn to the Lord, their God. And now, children, you young people that I love, you guys are awesome, huge blessing. Know that like Manasseh, you're going to have losses in your life. Manasseh lost his dad at a young age. I'm not a prophet, so I'm not saying anybody is. You're going to experience that, but you will experience losses. You will experience hurts, and never get angry at God. Never look to God and say, God, why did you let this happen? We all experience losses. I lost a brother when I was 6 years old. Lost a sister not too many years ago. Lost my parents. Lost a sister-in-law. There's been a lot of loss in this journey. And you can't blame God for that. No, you're going to have losses in your life. No, you're going to have all kinds of influences in your life. both good and most likely more that are bad influences. It's just the way this world is. There's so many bad influences. You're going to deal with pressures in life, peer pressure. You're going to deal with performance pressure. Come on, you can do it. Do more. Go, go. Get your get A's. Get A pluses. And there's just pressure. You're going to deal with personal pressures from your sinful nature. Those of you who are preteens, your sinful nature, and in your teenage years, it's just going to become much more, it's going to be more strong. And it's good to talk about this stuff in church. And then when you drive home, say, Mom, Dad, what is he talking about? You don't have to ask what I'm talking about, you know. But that sinful nature is going to want to rule over you. Remember what God told Cain? Sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you to rule over you, but you must master it. And if God told that to Cain, that works for everybody. And so you young men, you young girls, know that you're going to be dealing with these things. Life is filled with challenges and temptations to lead you astray from the Lord your God. This is a very normal part of your journey. It's not abnormal, it's normal. So don't think you're strange or don't think you're weird. And when your body's going through changes, don't think that you're weird in any way, shape, or form. It's normal. Everybody feels, unless the person's a narcissist, they love themselves. And there's quite a few out there. But most people have insecurities. Most people, they struggle with themselves, their identity, their looks. That's normal, you young brothers and sisters. Stay the course. The Lord loves you. Ultimately, it's up to you. And the question is during these challenging years in your life, young brothers and sisters, those of you who are following the Lord right now, will you stay faithful to the Lord your God? And right now you can say, I, God, want to stay faithful to you no matter what I'm presented with in this year and these years, these teenage years. I want to stay faithful to you, God. And you can make that commitment from your heart, and you have your parents and you have others that'll come alongside and help you in that journey. And more than anything, you have the Lord. You know, if you walk with the Lord, you will have a friend in Jesus that sticks closer than a brother, leading you and helping you to navigate to the other side of all those challenges that come with youth. You know, I look at some of you young people that you're adults now and you're serving the Lord, and you got to the other side of those challenges. I mean, what a blessing, right? We see Sam and Sean and Janelle and Nick and, you know, some of these others that are in their 20s and 30s, and some of you that are sitting, and I can't see because I'm getting old and blind, but the ones that I can see, I mentioned. But you endured, you stayed faithful to the Lord all those years, and now you got passed to the other side. And the Lord will help you that are still, you know, just starting that journey, preteen and teenage years. The Lord will help you. And if you walk away from the Lord, know that you're going to introduce a lot of unnecessary headaches and miss out on many opportunities to make a real difference for the kingdom of Christ and eternity. You need to know that your choices are going to either advance you for God's purposes, or it's going to bring a lot of unnecessary heartache. And I don't mean to scare you. I've just been through it, and I know, and I love you. I want to warn you. You know, the heartache won't come right away. I mean, learn from Manasseh's life. At first, he was living his life on his own terms and did so many things that he enjoyed. Meanwhile, he was disobeying God and just getting more and more brazen and just resisting God's word. And the spiritual damage that he caused, you know, it lasted. And even though he himself repented later on in life, there was so much damage that was irreversible that was done. And all that could have been spared if he stopped resisting. And then eventually his life came crashing down. And then he hit rock bottom when he finally turned to the Lord his God. It didn't have to be that way. And it doesn't have to be that way for any of you young guys and ladies. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember now. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And, you know, the Bible tells us the reality of the human journey. And life without God is meaningless. And there's going to come a time when you're going to get older. And if you don't walk with the Lord, you might find that all those years of not walking with the Lord brought you to a point where you just have no pleasure in life. You might have a nice house, you might have a wife and kids, or a husband and kids, you might have 500 grand in the bank, and you're only mid-40s, you might have a Lexus, or a Tesla, but go out and buy a Tesla. But either way, you have no pleasure. I know Ecclesiastes, he's talking about when you get old. You get old and the body starts breaking down. And that's true for those who are not godly, if they don't know God, because life without God is meaningless. So, you know, right now, young people, from your heart, I again would encourage you, just say to the Lord, be my Lord. Guide me. I dedicate my life to you. Protect me from all the outside influences that are going to challenge me and try to pull me away from walking with the Lord of the God of my fathers, the God of my parents. Be honest, I'm weak. I'm easily tempted. Keep me from forsaking you. Strengthen me, God, to walk and to serve you all the days of my life. Wow. I'm not even going to say anything other than deaf and dumb spirits, get out. Wow. That's just twisted. I don't know what you're doing over there, but you must not be with us. You came here to do your own thing. Man, I hope God doesn't strike you down dead. Thank God we're not living in the early church, man, because who knows? I might be saying, hey, there's the folks that are going to take you and bury you in the back. And you're not going to make it to that door because God's going to take you. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Wow. Anyway, you should repent. And I don't know who you are, and I don't want to find out. I don't even want to hear after. No excuses. Just never do that again. So how can a young man cleanse his way? That's what the psalmist tells us. I'm serious.
by taking heed according to your word.
You know, the psalmist said, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And you young brothers and sisters, you know, God will strengthen you to walk all the days of your life as you take heed to his word. Now, going back to 21, let's just pick up at verse 7. God speaking, remember he said, my name will be honored forever in this temple and in Jerusalem, the city I have chosen from among all the tribes of Israel. If the Israelites will be careful to obey my commands, all the laws my servant Moses gave them, I will not send them into exile from this land that I gave their ancestors. This is God speaking. And then here the writer of Chronicles chapter, 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 9, he tells us, but the people refused to listen. They continued to resist. And because they refused to listen, and that was partially because of no doubt Manasseh's bad example and bad influence, but nevertheless, because they refused to listen, it made him much more prone to be led to do more evil. And it tells us that Manasseh led them. They refused to listen to God, and they were easy prey, and Manasseh led them to do even more evil than the pagan nations that the Lord had destroyed when the people of Israel entered the land. You know, refusing to listen to God's word reveals a stubborn heart, and these folks were stubborn. There's times where God told them, you are a stiff-necked people. You're a stubborn people. And refusing to listen to God's word just is an indicator of stubbornness. And when you and I know what God says and we refuse to listen, we're being stubborn. And I wonder, you know, is there an area in your life that God has been speaking to you on, and you know what the right thing to do is, but you're refusing to listen? For whatever reason, whatever it is, I urge you, don't be stubborn. You know, perhaps the Lord has you in a situation that he wants you to trust him in, and you're refusing to trust and still wanting to control that situation. And God is saying, just leave it in my hands. But you're just resisting. Stop resisting. Perhaps the Lord is challenging you to step up and be more faithful in an area of service in his church, but you're comfortable. And you keep resisting his promptings. Stop resisting. Perhaps there's a bad influence, one of you young people, or it could be anybody, but maybe there's a bad influence or example in your life. It could be a friend, a family member, a coworker, or even one of your brothers and sisters, even somebody here. They're not here tonight, but they come on Sundays. But you enjoy their company, and you just don't want to address them. You don't want to say anything because you enjoy their company, even though they do things that you know that aren't right, because you're afraid. You're afraid that the relationship's going to get ruined in some way, And the Lord, you know, he's been impressing on your heart that you need to say something. You need to talk to them. You need to say something, but you keep refusing to do it. You know, when we refuse to listen to the Lord, it will affect our hearts. That's just going to happen. The heart becomes dull. The heart becomes stubborn. And we become prone to doing what's wrong. And if we continue to refuse to listen to that still, small, beautiful, wonderful voice of the Lord, things will not get better. Things will get worse. That's just the way it is. We saw it in Manasseh's life, and that's just the reality of a person who's stubborn. You see in Saul's life and others, the children of Israel, and they refuse to listen. Things don't get better. Things get worse. As it says, but the people refused to listen, and Manasseh led them to do even more evil. Now, God had something to say about Manasseh. That's really good. We're going to have to wait till next week. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. And there's been a lot said here tonight. And I pray that the things that were spoken were received well, with good hearts. In some chapters in your word, they tell us historically of what happened and some real dark people. But yet we can learn so much from them. And we see how Manasseh was a wicked individual. And that was his own choice. He chose to resist you for many years of his life. And Lord, we're just so thankful that his story doesn't end in rebellion, but in repentance. And Lord, I pray for all parents here that have prodigals. We have that hope. We pray that our children who have rebelled against you would repent, that you'd bring them to the end of themselves, that they would be in a place of distress and call out to you, because you are their God. Lord, I pray that you would continue to encourage the young here in the fellowship to choose you all the days of their life. There's challenging years ahead. It's good for them to know this ahead of time. And I pray, God, that they would just continue to be in your word, to seek you more and more, to grow in the knowledge of you. Because you, we know you will help them navigate through all those challenges. And Lord, for any of us here that you've been trying to get our attention, or we know there's an area, it might not even be a big thing, but nevertheless, you've been prompting us, and we've been resistant. God, I pray that we would right now repent and stop resisting. And just allow you to have your way. And we thank you, God, that there's nothing like you. No one like you. We thank you that you are faithful and that we can honor and worship you with the fruit of our lips. And we welcome you to make those changes in our lives. We submit to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.